At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
You're listening to Hit the Bell with Matthias Burbell on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
What's up, Fight fans? Welcome to Hit the Bell with me, Matthias Burbell. I am back from vacation. Sorry I've been away for so long. I was in Colombia enjoying myself for a couple weeks, and it was fantastic. But I am ready to rumble. UFC 299, I had to get back on time for the big card. And then we have UFC 300 right around the corner. And this is just great stuff. It's a great time to be a fight fan. It's a great time to be a tennis fan. Indian Wells Tennis Tournament going on right now. So much great sports. NBA, MLB's about to really get going. It's good times. It's damn good times, and I'm excited. First things first, I will be covering the Indian Wells Tournament this weekend, actually. So instead of being at UFC 299 in Miami, I will be in Palm Springs in the desert in California covering these awesome tennis matches. I'm excited. I haven't been to a real competitive tennis match really in my life, only exhibitions. And this is definitely going to be a big time moment, a big time, intense competitions all around the board. Coco Gauff, I'm excited to see Coco tomorrow. It's going to be a fantastic time, and you know I'm going to be watching the fights at the same time. I'm going to have UFC 299 ready to rock and roll on my phone, and I'm going to be watching Coco Gauff at the same time. I'm going to tell somebody to take a picture of me watching the fights while watching a tennis match at the same time. Multitasking at its finest. That's what I like to think of it. But we are here for some MMA, and that's the main entree, baby. UFC 299, Sugar Sean O'Malley, the Sugar Show, is back in action against Marlon Chito Vera. Ecuador, stand up. Latino America, stand up. This is fantastic. You know, great matchup, the rematch. Chito is up 1-0. If people who don't recall, Chito won their first fight about 4 years ago. He kicked Sean in the foot, in the leg. Sean couldn't continue. His foot had injuries. Chito elbows him in the head. You know, Sean is unconscious for about a second. And that's that. You know what I mean? And Chito is now in the position again to beat Sugar Sean O'Malley. But this time, it would be for the belt. If Chito is to beat Sugar Show, he will become the bantamweight champion of the world, which is crazy. You know, do I think that's going to happen? I don't think that's going to happen. I think Sean will get his revenge against Chito, and Sean will continue to be the champion of the bantamweight division. And good for him, because he is just a fantastic martial artist. You know, speed kills. That's what, when people ask me, who do you think is going to win this fight? I think it's going to be Sugar Show, but I say speed kills. You know, Sean has the speed advantage. Chito has the dog advantage. You know, if we're thinking, what does Chito have over Sean? Chito's a dog. You know, Chito's not going to get broken easily. He's not going to give up easily. You know, he's all in. And that's what's going to make this fight so exciting. You know, Chito's never say die attitude. But I think the writing is in the wall for Sugar Show. You know, that right hand is vicious. That speed effect that he has is second to none. You know, that's what makes him so special. And I'm excited to watch this fight. Straight up, this card has it all. And we have John Morgan coming up next. You know, John Morgan, we all know him from Cage Fury Fighting, former employee with MMA Junkie, always the first one to ask the question at the UFC press conferences. This guy is the man, and we are lucky to have him here on Hit the Bell, and we're going to break down UFC 299 and it's going to be great. So John Morgan's coming up next, everybody. And also, you're going to hear me with Carver and Lisi on Sirius XM channel 159. I did a segment with Carver and Lisi the other night, breaking down UFC 299, and we're going to go over that again here on Hit the Bell. All that and more. Y'all stay tuned. This is Hit the Bell with me, Matias Burbell, UFC 299. Let's do it.
You're listening to Hit the Bell with Matias Burbell on the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Hit the Bell with Matias Burbell on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
What's up, fight fans? Welcome to Hit the Bell with me, Matias Burbell. Awesome show lined up for you guys. As I said previously in round one, we had John Morgan. That's right, John Morgan following the show right now. You can follow John on X at @John_MMA. He is the host of the MMA Roadshow, Grind City Media's Cage Side with John Morgan. Also commentator for Cage Fury Fighting and Tough Enough. He is in Tampa right now getting ready to cover Cage Fury Fighting with CM Punk. And then tomorrow he's off to UFC 299 to catch Dustin Poirier and to catch all the big time fights happening tomorrow. Sugar Sean O'Malley, Chito Vera, Philip Lenz to start the card off. But without further ado, what's up, John Morgan? Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me, brother. Yeah, it's a fun weekend, man. A lot of stuff going on, and man, Florida is the home for some great events, back-to-back nights on this weekend, so I'm looking forward to it.
No, that's for damn sure, man, but let's start off with where you're at right now. You know, you're about to be commentating on Cage Fury Fighting, a big card coming up, and your partner, WWE, former UFC fighter CM Punk. How's that been, man?
Yeah, man, I love working with Punk, to be honest with you, man, and working with the whole CFSC crew. It's been several years now, and, man, I just have an absolute passion. You know me, man. I love this sport so much, but it's a great opportunity to be able to talk about the fights and tell the stories of these athletes. And CFSC really, man, just strives to have such a high level and just get these athletes ready for the next level. I mean, that's our desired purpose, is to find the next big stars in the sport and give them a huge platform to go out there and perform, you know what I mean, and prove that they're ready the next level and hopefully get the attention of the big shows and get those invites. And, I mean, there's absolutely nothing that makes me happier than, you know, watching a guy or a girl chase their dream at this level and then, you know, getting to continue to cover their career at the highest level at the UFC as well. I mean, it's such a special experience for me, but working with Punk is fantastic, man. And, you know, unfortunately, he's a little under the weather right now. He had to have surgery lately, so kind of derailed his big WWE comeback. I was kind of bummed to see that, but he's had positive spirits about it, man. He's working through the recovery, and he'll be back there in the next several months. So it's a blast, man. It's a great organization. I'm honored to be a part of it.
No, that's so cool. And you could catch John on UFC Fight Pass tonight for Cage Fury Fighting with CM Punk. And I got to say, listening to you commentating, doing the whole play-by-play, I love to hear it because I could tell that you're so passionate when you're talking and when you're giving out all that information and breaking down the fights. But, man, you have a big smile on your face every single time I see you behind the camera doing what you love, not just writing about MMA, but actually being there live cage side and talking about it. It's great to see you happy. It's great to see you doing what you do. And this is the best John Morgan that we're getting right here on Hit the Bell, baby. But let's go, man. UFC 299, it's on fire. When I started the interview and I was like, UFC 299, man, best fighters. I could only think of Sugar Sean O'Malley, and then I got tongue bitten because literally there's so many. You can't just think of the co-main and the main event. You could go down to the prelims, man. Kyler Phillips, Pedro Munhoz, Philip Lenz, Ian Kuntalaba, Michelle Pereira, Michael Oluzese. Oh, you know, I just completely screw up that Polish name. Let's just go with Michael. That's a tough one, man. And I'm pretty good with names, but also Maria Moros, Joanne Wood, you know, CJ Vergara. What a card, right? From top to bottom, just banger after banger.
It really is. It is loaded. I mean, seriously, from start to finish. I mean, we all get excited for big events. And, you know, the UFC now these days tends to really stack the pay-per-view events, but this is phenomenal. I mean, to the point the people are making a debate whether or not this is better than UFC 300. And look, it's a fair argument to have. The UFC 300 lineup is stacked as well. So I think it's a fun argument going back and forth, but it's just that good. I mean, 298 was great. 299 is loaded. 300 is going to be awesome next month as well. But this lineup, top to bottom, recognizable names, top talent, meaningful fights, great athletes, great matchups. I mean, this is one of those ones that you just don't want to miss. I mean, there's a ton going on in the world of combat sports this weekend, but this is definitely one you don't want to miss. I think there's just going to be some amazing results, and we're going to be talking about them a lot, in the days and weeks to come.
No, I'm right there with you, and I love how you said that UFC 300 might not be up to par with UFC 299, and I completely agree with you. You know, I think it was about a month and a half ago where I was looking at the card, or like a month ago, and I'm thinking, man, this card's better than 300, and this was before the main events for 300 were announced. With Pereira coming in at 300 against Jamahal Hill. You know, we only knew that we thought that the main event might be for the BMF, Max Holloway, Justin Gaethje. So when I looked at the card, I'm thinking to myself, man, 299 is stacked. And when I compare both cards, something I like, when you want to describe 299, in one word without, before the card even happens, I'd call it explosive. I think that this is going to be an explosive card, or a violent card, man, from top to bottom. And, just thinking about this, Matheus Gamrot against Rafael Dos Anjos, like, that's a main event on a UFC fight night. You know what I mean? That's a main event on so many different fight nights that we have on a different Saturday, throughout the year. But this one, man, is that even on the main card? That's not even on the main card, John. That's in the prelims. The first fight, Curtis Blaydes, Jalton Almeida. I want to get your take on that. I know that we need to talk about the main card because the main card is what the people want to hear. But let's get real here. Curtis Blaydes and Jalton Almeida is one of the most exciting fights on the whole card, in my opinion. Every single time I'm scrolling down the list, I always end up stopping at this fight because I don't know who's going to win. And I think Almeida is really, really, really good. And to see him at now it's minus 115, so the line is stretched a little bit. But to see him at minus 115 against Curtis Blaydes, it just makes you want to pull the trigger, John. Almeida is a beast. What do you think about this fight? Who do you got winning this fight?
I love this fight. It's a fight that I've definitely wanted to see, and I'm glad that the UFC was able to make this happen. To me, it's the perfect stylistic matchup. It's a fight that was supposed to happen before. If you remember, of course, Curtis Blaydes had a little bit of an injury that forced him to duck out of it, and that ended up being the matchup with Derek Lewis instead for Jalton Almeida. But I'm glad the UFC went back to the well to put this together because, listen, Jalton Almeida, kind of looks like he might be one of those, next championship-level contenders in the heavyweight division, but it's been his overwhelming, grappling game that has been really the driving force behind him. He's very athletic, and he's got the ability to wrestle people, take him to the ground, and hold him there, to be honest with you. They just can't get up from it, unleash some ground and pound. But, when you talk about who's the best at that right now in the heavyweight division, it is Curtis Blaydes. And so stylistically, this is the perfect matchup for him. And Curtis Blaydes, earlier this week was a little bit dismissive, if we're being honest, of the skills that Jalton Almeida, and said, look, I think the guy's a little bit one-dimensional. I mean, he's good at it, but I just think he's a grappler. And I think that's it. And I don't think he has hands like I have. Curtis has been working hard on that. So, this to me is a pick'em type matchup. I mean, Curtis Blaydes does have way more experience at the highest level. He does have, a little bit more time to put the striking game together, has shown some improvements there. So that could prove the edge here. But Jalton Almeida, to me, looks like, really is kind of the next level, the next generation, a phenomenal A-plus athlete, man. I mean, just impressive. So this, to me, is the perfect matchup. I think it's a toss-up style matchup. I think it's going to be whoever can impose their will early. If that athleticism for Jalton is up to par, it could be enough to overwhelm Curtis Blaydes, but you can't count out Blaydes. I mean, he's been at that high level for a long time, and looks like the winner potentially in line for Tom Aspinall as well, while Tom Aspinall is sitting out waiting on John Jones and Stipe Miocic to happen. So a lot of big implications here, and as you said, I mean, that's a preliminary fight, but it's one that is very intriguing stylistically and also has some real meanings in the heavyweight division.
Now I'm with you, man. I like Almeida in this fight. And as you said, he's explosive. He's a great grappler. But when I think of Curtis Blaydes, I think of a guy who likes to wrestle. And where does he usually win his fights? On the ground, keeping you on the ground and pound, taking your back. He's an extremely great wrestler, an extremely great grappler. You know, that's his forte. So when I think of Blaydes talking about one-dimensional Jolton Almeida, I'll counter that back to Blaydes. Like, I think he's kind of one-dimensional too. You know, he's not a guy who's known for his striking ability, you know, per se, like Tom Aspinall, for example.
Right.
So I'm very, very much looking forward to watching this fight. Almeida already feels like he's going to win this fight, and he already wants to call out his next opponent. That kind of worries me a little bit, because Blaydes is no slouch whatsoever, you know. So if I was Almeida, I would just completely be focused on Blaydes and what is to come. But how about this one? Right after that, Petre Yan against Song Yadong, you know, in the bantamweight division. Do you think that Petre Yan finally gets off of that donkey of that losing streak that he's been on since he lost to Sugar Sean O'Malley and the whole deal with that? Do you think we're going to get the old Petre Yan, you know, the former bantamweight champion Petre Yan? Because Song Yadong looks very confident, and I loved how he learned how to speak English. I love how he let that rip. No more translator. And I love how both of those guys are speaking English right now. You could tell that they're putting in the work to promote themselves, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, this is a great matchup as well. Again, another one that not only is a meaningful division in terms of, you know, you're talking about ranked opponents and, you know, where they stand in the division. And my gosh, I mean, that bantamweight division is absolutely stacked. So not only is it meaningful, but stylistically, the way these two go about their business, it looks like it's going to be, you know, fit that description you said. It's going to be explosive. It's going to be fireworks. Here's what's tough about this one is Petre Yan, as you said, he's on this losing streak. But, I mean, you're talking about against the absolute best in the division. I mean, you're talking about losses to Barad Dvalishvili, Sean O'Malley, Aljamain Sterling in consecutive outings. And you say, well, that's a three-fight losing streak. But, my goodness, it's a three-fight losing streak in incredibly competitive matchups, you know, against a killer's row of fighters. So, you know, people, I think, are kind of quick to write his demise, and I don't know if that's fair yet. But what you get here in Petre Yan's next opponent is another killer. Song Yadong is this dude that just, man, has been at this for so long to have the experience that he does at his age, but to be getting better seemingly every time out. I mean, the guy's just 26 years old and coming up on 30 fights. That's incredible. He's living out in California, training with Team Alpha Male, continues to get better and better. As you said, his skills are improving. His skills in the mic are improving. He came in with some swagger this week. So I do like Song Yadong in this matchup, man. I feel like, just, you know, he's kind of coming into his own. He's the guy that's in form. He's the guy really reaching his prime. It's why I like him in this matchup. But it's not one where I want to discount Petre Yan. If it goes the other way, I wouldn't be shocked by that, because Yan, you know, has been at that highest level, and he deserves the recognition of the skills that he still has. So very, very competitive, stylistically very intriguing, should be fireworks. I like Song Yadong here, but, I mean, that's in, by no means writing off Yan's chances.
Nah, it's an exciting fight, man. This card, like I said, like top to bottom, like, oh my God, we haven't even got to the co-main event, John. Like, you know what I mean? Like these are all main event type fights, in my opinion. And this is a great stylistic matchup for Yan, I think. You know, a guy who's not going to want to wrestle with you in Song Yadong. He's going to want to stand there and bang. He's going to want to trade. This is going to be a violent, violent fight. I just wonder who connects first. You know what I mean? You know, every game plan is great until you get hit in the face. And, you know, that one goes way back. But in this instance, between bantamweights, you know, whoever lands the first power shot, I think will be able to dictate the rest of the fight, considering, you know, the hesitancy factor, so, you know, gets thrown into the mix. So I just wonder who will land first, because Yan hits hard. You know, Tiger Muay Thai, Thailand. This guy has been a wrecking ball for so long in the stand-up department. You know, he almost got Sugar Sean O'Malley. You know, when you look back to that Sugar Sean O'Malley Petre Yan fight, O'Malley might have hit Yan first, but remember the counter that Yan gave him right afterwards? It's like, that's the type of counter that knocks some guys out. You know, so I just wonder, you know, how this fight's going to play out. Do you think this fight goes long? Or do you think it's going to be a quick finish? Do you think this could go over 2.5 rounds? Because for some reason, both of these guys are tough, and I have a feeling that this might go to a decision.
Yeah, it very much could. I think it's going to be competitive throughout, but these guys are tough as well. I mean, so it could, and I think it's going to be exciting the entire time, if I'm being honest. I think it's going to be contested on the feet. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Nah, it is a lot of fun, man. And, you know, I see this number going up for Jack Della Maddalena. I love Jack Della Maddalena. You know, we've been covering this guy since the Contender Series. And I don't know about you, you probably started covering him before that, because you're definitely in the boonies of the fight game, John. But this kid, Jack Della Maddalena, I don't even want to call him a kid, because he's not a kid. He looks like a grown man. He acts like a grown man. He's very mature. He's very mature on the mic. Very well-spoken, very confident guy, Jack Della Maddalena. And it's been a joy to watch him fight in the UFC because of the way that he fights. and just his composure at all times during the fight, after the fight, before the fight. I'm a fan of his. I really am. But this is a weird matchup against Gilbert Burns, and I don't know why the price keeps going up and up and up and up and up. I know I like Jack Della Maddalena, but Gilbert Burns, extremely great at jiu-jitsu, extremely great grappler, extremely great at getting you, you know, into that choke that you don't want to get in and finishing fights. And when I see Jack Della Maddalena, you know, this kid is tough, but how many times have we seen this guy get out of chokes? That a lot of the times, if you get a, you know, if you go against a guy like Gilbert Burns, you know, he's not going to let you out of that choke. So I'm just wondering, do you think that Gilbert Burns could get him in an anaconda choke, could get him in a triangle choke, and finish the fight? Because it seems to me that when you take Jack down, he's not very careful in the way that he gets back up, and sometimes he gets himself into trouble. He's just fought guys that haven't been able to close the deal out right away. Do you think that Gilbert Burns has not a chance, everybody has a chance to win this fight, but do you think Gilbert Burns at plus 155, plus 160, do you think this price is a little inflated right now?
Yeah, to be honest, this is one that I've scratched my head a little bit as well. And I worry that maybe I'm hesitant to give Jack Della Maddalena the credit that he deserves, but I think I am. I mean, I'm high on the guy as well. I think he's got great talent. I think he's a dangerous fighter, and I think he's got a huge future. But that said, I mean, Gilbert Burns is, to me, the more proven commodity at the highest level of the sport. And also, as you said, factors in that incredible world-class grappling game as well. And an intelligent fighter, breaks down fights very well, understands the fight game, is not somebody that necessarily is going to want to go in here and say, well, I've got to prove myself on the feet against Jack Della Maddalena. Now, look, with Khamzat Chimaev, he got himself into a brawl, but I think that's just because he knew that's exactly the kind of fight that people wanted to see. That's exactly the fight that they wanted out of Khamzat Chimaev, and Gilbert was happy to give that. So here, I don't know that that's the case. I don't think there's the same reputation around it. I think Gilbert Burns realizes the smart thing to do here is to really be looking for those grappling options. And while Gilbert has power in the hands, I think he understands that if you're putting together a game plan, it wouldn't be to kickbox with Della Maddalena. So, to be honest with you, I like Gilbert Burns here, especially in an underdog spot. I mean, you're always, if you're putting some money down on a fight, you know, you're always looking for ways you can get some plus money in your investment. And this is a way to do that. So, you know, again, it bothers me a little bit because when I feel like, you know, the public has a little bit different sentiment, I wonder if I'm making a mistake in my own analysis. But I like Gilbert Burns in this spot. So I'm a little bit surprised by the betting line. Maybe that's just a little bit of hype around Della Maddalena. He certainly had a following building around him. And you know, everybody is looking for the next star to take the place of these guys that have been around for a while. So maybe that's it. I don't know, but I, to be honest with you, I do like Burns in this matchup. I'm a little surprised by the line.
Now, you know, I like that we're on the same page, John. You and me are on the same page right now when it comes to breaking down these fights and who do you think is going to win. I'm with you. Like I said, Gilbert Burns at that price, kind of crazy. But we move on. And before I get anywhere further, I got to tell you guys, we're talking to John Morgan, host of the MMA Roadshow, Grind City Media's MMA Cage Free Fighting, Tough Enough. John Morgan, go follow him on X or on Twitter, however you want to call it, at John Morgan underscore MMA. We are rolling through UFC 299 right now. And man, let's get real. This fight has a big storyline behind it. This one we're going to talk about next. Kevin Holland against MVP. I say that because you know how it is when it comes to talking about the UFC, the number one division, the number one promotion, you know, the biggest and the baddest guys fighting the UFC, right? That's what people say, but some people don't like that. But that's what the perception is. Let's just talk about the perception. The perception is that the UFC is the big leagues. And here we have Michael Venom Page, MVP, you know, this killer coming from Bellator, plus 115 underdog, 21-2 overall record. I love watching MVP. I've been watching MVP for years. You know why? Because he finishes fights. He's elusive. He's explosive. He's violent. He's a showman. You know, all the things that the UFC loves to hire. So this is the perfect hire for the UFC. But what a fight, right? Kevin Holland against MVP. How about that? And people already started saying in the press conference, you know, Kevin Holland, you know, he's coming from Bellator. We all know why you guys watch and buy UFC fights and you don't buy Bellator fights. So we have that whole entire storyline in the background. And I already have a lot of my friends in the back saying like, that's horse crap. You know what I mean? We don't need to talk about which league is better and which league is not. But what do you think about this fight? Who do you have winning this fight and why?
Well, I think what's important to remember anytime you talk about fighters coming from other organizations is that there are great fighters in every organization. It is easiest to say the UFC has the biggest, you know, concentration of them, and that's accurate. I mean, UFC's roster is bigger than the PFL, Bellator, and ONE Championship combined. I mean, they just have more names to choose from, so they have a greater concentration of them. But to say that there aren't great athletes in other organizations would just be an absolute mistake. Michael Venom Page is one of those great athletes. He had incredible success with Bellator. And he is an incredible showman. He's just fun to watch. I mean, if you were watching Bellator, you had to be a fan of MVP. Not only is it the highlight reel knockouts, it's just the way he conducts himself, the way he moves. It's so unique. You know what I mean? It's just, it's different. And he's entertaining. I think if you had never seen Paige before, you have to like what you're seeing this week out of his media day, out of his press conference time, out of his face-offs. I mean, he just is that guy. He's a showman, and he's fun to watch fights. And kudos to the UFC matchmakers for this matchmaking that they did. This is the perfect fight for me to welcome him into the UFC. I love the matchmaking here. I think this is another great fight that really could go either way. I think Kevin Holland has exactly what it takes to win this fight. I think he probably does have a little bit better grappling game. He has the size, the speed, the creativity, all those things to match. But I will say that I think, you know, I'd like to see Holland grapple here. I'd like to see him stay disciplined with that. I'm a little bit concerned because, man, you know, Holland is a showman too, right? Holland, we know he loves to talk. He loves to put on some of the, he wants to put on memorable fights that people enjoy, even if that means that maybe it's not the safest way for him to fight. And I think that could factor into exactly the way Paige wants him to compete, because Paige is a master of setting things up like that. So I tend to think that Holland has every skill and ability that it takes to win this fight. But I wouldn't go out there betting my mortgage payment on it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Venom Page, MVP, has every bit of the ability to win this fight as well. So it's a little bit of a head-scratcher for me. It's always interesting when you see guys come from new promotions, because how do they deal with it? The UFC is a little bit different feel. You know, the lights are a little bit different. The cage is a little bit different. The crowds are a little bit different. All those things could be factors. And does it catch up to him? I don't think so. MVP's been competing since he was a little kid. He's literally grown up in martial arts. I think he's going to be fine here. But you just never know. And we just haven't seen the overlap of competition to see who, you know, how they've compared against similar opponents, that sort of thing. So, man, if I had to pick somebody, I think I'd say Holland. But, gosh, you know, MVP can win this fight for sure.
I'm right there with you. You know what? We both feel the same way. I like MVP. I like Kevin Holland. It's so tough to pick this fight. I just can't wait to watch it. And it's crazy because if this fight was made 4 years ago, 3 years ago, I would pick MVP, because we know that Holland would not want to take this fight to the ground. He would not want to wrestle. It would just be a stand-up battle, and MVP might find, you know, that one shot that knocks down Kevin Holland. I just wonder if he'll be able to do that now. But with Kevin Holland improving his grappling, improving his wrestling, you know, listening to DC in the corner. Remember when DC used to tell him what he needed to do better when he was fighting, you know, in the octagon and he couldn't get off of his back? You know, it's just he's came a long way. So I like to think that, you know, the journey to success, you know, has, you know, the fruits of your labor waiting for you at the end. You know what I mean? I think this is a perfect type of fight where he could say, I know how to win this fight. I just have to do this and I have to do that. And I can't get caught, you know, can't get caught. But if he fights the way that he's supposed to fight with high fight IQ, which he can, I just wonder if he's going to do it. He should win this fight, but I cannot wait to watch it. It's going to be so exciting. Whoever wins, I'm going to be smiling, because it's going to be a big win for either fighter and it's going to be awesome. Co-main event, Dustin Poirier, Benoit St. Denis, what a fight. You know, people are you know, the average MMA fan is asking me, you know, who the hell is this guy Benoit St. Denis? You know, is this guy worth a damn? And I'm thinking, man, you guys have not watched this guy fight, because he is a monster. And John, I've been lucky enough to watch this guy fight in person at the UFC Apex when he fought Bonfim. And he was a +250 underdog, and he walked down Bonfim like a monster and finished him, John. You know what I mean? That's who St. Denis is. You know, former Special Forces guy who will kick your ass. You know what I mean? Is this the mountain too steep for Dustin Poirier right now? Do you think Poirier, coming off of that head kick off of Justin Gaethje, is stepping into this octagon against a guy who he should not be stepping in against?
Man, this is a tough one, right? Because, I mean, covering Dustin Poirier's career, the man is an absolute legend as a fighter and as just a human being. And I think, you know, I just have the highest regards for Dustin Poirier. I'm such a fan of the guy, like I said, as a fighter and as a man. This is a tough one on paper. Everything logically tells me that this is Benoit St. Denis' time. I mean, as you said, the rise that he's had, he had the horrible UFC debut, but has looked like an absolute world beater since. Hasn't been to this level, right? Hasn't fought this level of competition. And, oh, by the way, this is a 5-round fight, which definitely favors Poirier. He's that man that's been in the trenches, that's been in the battles, that just continues to pour things in late. You know, my heart is telling me here, Dustin Poirier, I can't pick against Dustin Poirier. I just can't. The man has done too much. He's put too much of his life into the sport. I can't pick against him. But I'm going to tell you right now, This is a tough, tough, tough assignment. Benoit St. Denis, a killer on his way up the ranks, and this could be his breakout performance. A lot of things in my head tell me it should be his breakout performance. But, man, I guess it's the old dog in me. I just can't pick against Dustin Poirier here.
No, I feel you, man. It's tough to pick against emotions and your mind. You know what I mean? That's what I'm going through with Max Holloway and Justin Gaethje, you know, for UFC 300. But that's a story for a different day, because we got to get to the main event, and I got to get your pick before I get you out of here. Sean O'Malley, Marlon Vera, the rematch. Some people don't even know that this is a rematch. Marlon Vera gave Sean O'Malley his only one on his record, because he stands at 17-1. And Marlon Vera is a badass. He made weight. He looks great. He feels confident. You know, why shouldn't he? He already beat him one time, and he beat him fair and square. I'm not going to say that he didn't. You know, he kicked him on the leg, he kicked him on the foot, he had some nerve damage, and then he elbowed him and knocked him unconscious for a few seconds. Like, that's a real win right there. So I'm not going to say that it's a fluke. You know, who do you have in this fight? Plus 220 for Chito Vera is kind of crazy, but I do like Sugar Sean O'Malley. I think speed kills, and I think Sugar connects more than once on Chito, but it should be a banger.
It's going to be a great fight. A little bit surprised by the line as well, but I understand it. Sean O'Malley is just that good, man. The speed, as you said, is there for him. He's an absolute sniper. He's so good on the feet. He's great on the ground as well. We don't talk about his grappling enough, I don't think, but his striking skills are unbelievable. This is another one, man, that I'm going to tell you. I'm torn on it at my heart. Chito Vera, man, 10 years in the UFC, the story that he has and what he sacrificed for his family and what he's built for his family, it is unbelievable. He's got the entire nation of Ecuador on his side. I think the stat was there's like 120 credentialed media at UFC 299 in Miami, and like 40 of them came from Ecuador. So, I mean, he's got the entire nation's media here to cover him as well. I mean, he really has become the darling of Fight Week. I could tell you the energy at the press conference yesterday. Man, as much as Sean O'Malley is a star, there were a lot of people pulling for Chito Vera. And this would be a great, great win for him. He's got that dog in him. He's not going away. I think the longer this thing goes, the more it favors Chito Vera. But I struggle to pick against Sean O'Malley. This is another one. My heart would love to see Chito Vera win this fight, because it would be such a moment for him and a guy that has, you know, put his blood, sweat, and tears into this. But gosh, man, Sean O'Malley is just so dang good. And I think he has what it takes to win this fight. So I think on paper I'm picking Sean O'Malley, but I am not counting out Chito Vera, and I think it would be an incredible story for him to have his hand raised on fight night. But, you know, listen, man, these are the fights that get us the most excited, the ones that you're just not sure. I mean, you're never sure about an MMA fight, which is a great thing about it. I mean, anything can happen. I mean, this sport, upsets happen all the time. But, you know, there's some fights you look at and you go, well, I'm 90% sure that it's going to go this way. Man, I'm not even close to 90% sure saying that I think Sean O'Malley is going to win this fight. I think he's got the tools to win it, but man, you just can't discount the heart, the tenacity that Chito has. And, you know, what kind of psychological edge is in there? The fact that there is that one result. Call it a fluke if you want. I don't think you can. But he's the only man to put a mark on that record. So great, great, great main event. And, again, the talent in that bantamweight division is sick. You got Merab Dvalishvili waiting in the wings, who is an incredible number one contender. This is just a great fight, and it's a great division, and it's a hell of a main event for UFC 299.
There you have it, folks. John Morgan, host of the MMA Roadshow, Grind City Media's Cage Side with John Morgan, commentator for Cage Fury Fighting and Tough Enough. This guy is everywhere. Go find him on UFC Fight Pass tonight with CM Punk for Cage Fury Fighting. And then go follow him on X or on Twitter at @John_MMA. You are the best, John. We just broke down UFC 299, the main card, from top to bottom, and I cannot wait to watch it, man. And you know what? After what we just did, I actually do think that 299 is better than UFC 300, because there's no way we're going to be as excited talking about 300 as we were talking about 299, my bro.
Hey, man, the 300 is looking good too, don't lie, but 299 is fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for having me as always, brother.
You're the best, brother. Take care. Talk to you soon.
You're listening to Hit the Bell with Matias Burbell on the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Hit the Bell with Matias Burbell on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Tell me in the name of...
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Hit the Bell with me, Matthias, for the final round. And here we go. We're going to go through all my picks. Not one pick left unturned for UFC 299. And that starts right now. First things first, Maria Moros, minus 235. She will beat Joanne Wood. Also, Robles de Spain from Cuba, minus 385. I'm actually going to parlay Moros and de Spain together. That's going to be one of my first parlays. Also, Michelle Pereira, minus 150 against the Polish man, Michael Oleksiejczyk. That's going to be a great fight, but I think Pereira gets it done. Also, Philip Lenz at plus money, plus 105 against Ian Kuntalaba. I think Philip Lenz has made a tremendous improvement over his last three fights since his first fight in the UFC. And I'm going to keep riding him. Plus 105 for Philip Lenz. Let's go. Here we go, y'all. Kyler Phillips at minus 220. I think he beats Pedro Munhoz, but this is an interesting fight. I'm not 100% confident with his price at minus 220. But if you put a gun to my head, I would tell you that Kyler Phillips is going to win this fight. Just a more elusive fighter, more explosive fighter, you know, but will he gas out? I've seen Kyler gas out because he's just been too crazy in there looking for the finish. That's the type of fighter he is, and he cannot do that against Pedro Munhoz. This is definitely Kyler's biggest fight of his career, and it's definitely a fight that he can win. But he's going to have to fight smart. He's going to have to fight well. He's not going to have to get reckless. If he fights reckless, Pedro Munhoz will figure out a way to win this fight via decision. I do think this fight goes to a decision. That's actually my best bet for this fight, the over two and a half. You know, paying minus 220 for Kyler Phillips is just too much right now. He needs to prove it to me first if you want me to pay that type of price for him. Considering, you know, how reckless he could be in there and testing his cardio is also something that I have to see in order to prove it to me before me being so confident, you know, if that makes sense. Also, Matheus Gamrot, yeah, he's going to have a damn good time in there against Rafael Dos Anjos. Minus 425, I don't think so. I'm just going to take the over in this fight. I think Gamrot wins this fight via decision. Dos Anjos, man, the time has come for this guy to really look at the mirror and think, can he still fight at this level and be a well-oiled machine? You know, Rafael Dos Anjos, former champion, great fighter. But at the same time, now he's fighting guys who are just like, you know, Matheus Gamrot is 23-2. You know what I mean? Like, the guy is an amazing wrestler, an amazing guy who could finish fights. He finished Rafael Fiziev in his last fight. That's crazy. He beat Jalen Turner in his fight prior to that in a split decision. But Fiziev is a damn good fighter. You know, that's how good Gamrot is right now. He has title aspirations. Rafael Dos Anjos right now is playing gatekeeper of the lightweight division, in my opinion. And this is just a fight where I don't think he's going to win. Scary fight. Don't really know how to play it. I don't know if Dos Anjos could get finished. He's always been tough, but Gamrot is just, you know, Gamrot is Gamrot. You know, don't mess with him. Put him in a parlay. Minus 425. That's a good piece right there. He's going to win this fight. Macy Barber at minus 210. I'm taking Macy. You know, she has been fighting tremendously over her last three fights. Vicious, vicious fighter. You know, when I think about her win over Amanda Ribas, that's just a fight where we really saw Macy come into her own. You know, she's always been really good, you know, since the Contender Series. But her you know, prior to her win against Ribas, I thought that she was flirting with being great. You know, that she was close to losing to ABC Amanda Lee. Split decision win. Her win against Jessica Ai, another one that was a close fight. You know, Montana De La Rosa, another close fight. Her fight against Miranda Maverick, I thought she lost that fight in 2021. It was a split decision win. I had her losing that fight, I remember. So that's what I mean by flirting with being great. Like, she should have dominated her opponents, but she wasn't dominating. And then she gets Amanda Ribas, you know, last June. And that is the Macy I expected. You know, now she's really coming into her own. And I think this is another fight where she could just dominate. You know, if she fights her fight and goes forward and lands and pushes, you know, Caitlin along the fence, makes it a phone booth boxing type of affair, just lands the short elbows, lands the right, uses her weight against Chookagian. You know, I think she's going to look damn good in there. And I think this is another fight where she could just shine. And she could maybe even, I don't want to say she could call out, you know, for a title fight, but she is so close to being able to call for a title shot. And if she wins this fight in stunning fashion, it wouldn't surprise me if she calls out the champion. It's a, she, Macy Barber has that aura around her right now that screams championship level material. And the UFC likes it. The UFC wants her to be in that position. So if she gets the job done, be expecting some fireworks from Macy Barber, you know, at UFC 299. Man, the main event for the prelims, Jalton Almeida against Curtis Blaydes. I love Jalton Almeida, 20-2 against 17-4 Curtis Blaydes. Curtis thinks that Jalton is one-dimensional, just has great grappling and great wrestling. You know, I wouldn't say differently for Curtis Blaydes. I think he's kind of one-dimensional as well. So, you know, be careful what you wish for there. I think Almeida's going to be explosive right out of the gate. I just hope he doesn't gas. I hope he doesn't land something big and tries to finish the fight and fails to do so, because that's where Curtis could capitalize and really get him into deep waters, you know, in the later rounds of rounds two or rounds three. And then we'll see a Jalton Almeida, you know, what he's really made out of. But I'm rolling with Jalton Almeida for this fight at minus 115. Let's get her done. I like Song Yadong at plus 110. I think Yadong gets his fight against Peter Yan. I know that Peter's lost four out of his last five fights, but that's not the reason I'm picking Song. I'm picking Song because of his explosive right hand. I'm picking Song because of the way that he can get in and out of exchanges. I think he's going to have the speed advantage against Yan. I think Yan's going to land. I think this is going to be a vicious fight, but I have Song Yadong winning this fight. And I also like this fight to go to a decision. I like this over 2.5. You know, if you're too scared to pick Yadong or Yan, which I completely understand, this is a great fight, an awesome fight for viewers. You know, take the over. Both these guys are tough. Both these guys are extremely hard to finish. So I like the over more than anything, but I'm also taking Yadong at plus money at plus 110. This is a wild card, everybody. I was rolling with Jack Della Maddalena earlier in the week at 16-2. You know, Jack is a tremendous fighter, tremendous hands, very tough guy, hits very hard, an intimidating fighter in the division. But Gilbert Burns is a great black belt jiu-jitsu and grappler practitioner, man. This guy is a real deal. If he could get Jack in a choke, I think he's going to finish this fight. And I think Gilbert's going to take this fight to the ground and finish Jack. I think Jack actually gets finished in this fight via submission. That's just what I'm feeling. You know, that's what my gut tells me. And I think Gilbert's going to have a good time in there come Saturday. Plus 150 is a great price for Gilbert Burns. We move to the other co-main event, Kevin Holland. Kevin Holland gets his fight at minus 130 over Michael Venom Page. But you're not going to want to miss this fight. This is a type of fight where, man, it's gonna be awesome. You know, somebody's gonna get lit up. I think Kevin Holland actually finishes Michael Venom Page. I think Michael's age will catch up to him in this fight against Kevin Holland. You know, a guy who's really coming into his own. He's made the improvements in the gym. He could take this fight to the ground if he wants to. He could keep it standing. I think Kevin Holland will dictate where this fight goes. As long as he fights smart and doesn't get reckless, I think Kevin Holland wins this fight at minus 130. And yes, like I said earlier, Benoit Saint-Denis at minus 210. I think he finishes Dustin Poirier in this fight. It's going to be a damn good fight, though, man. This is going to be so, so fun to watch while it lasts. I like the under 2.5 in this fight as well. I know that this is a 5-round fight. I just don't think this is going to go over 14.5 minutes. You know, I think this fight ends around the 12-minute mark, the 11-minute mark of round number two. Who's going to get hit first? Who's going to land first? Who's going to land the biggest shot of the fight, you know, in the first round? It's going to be so much fun to watch, but I'm leaning with Dennis. Let's go. And the main event. I need to get off my main event slump. I've been 0-4 my last main events. The last main event I hit was Jukas Duplessis, but I had him via TKO and he won via decision. But at the end of the day, we had the right side, but we haven't hit one since. And I'm going with the chalk. I'm going with speed kills. I'm going with the sugar show. Sugar Sean O'Malley wins the fight via decision over Chito Vera. I think it's going to be a great fight. I think Chito's going to land some shots. I think there's going to be a feeling out process. People that think that Sean's going to come out and destroy Chito right away, you're crazy. He's coming off a loss against Chito. As much as Sean talks, as much as he looks like he is the best fighter in the world, the way that he carries himself, he's not an idiot. You know, Sean's a smart fighter. He understands what Chito can do, and he understands that he's also beaten him before, and he's going to try to keep himself out of danger. I don't think Sean's going to throw himself into the fire in the first couple minutes of the fight. I think he's going to want to see the way that Chito is going to, you know, what Chito wants to do in this fight, and then Sean will go from there. You know, he will see what Chito likes to do, and Sean will figure out a way to get in and land that right hand. Speed kills. He will have the speed advantage in there. If Cheeto lands some crazy kick in the first round, oh, that would be so nuts, man. But I do think that the pressure will get to Cheeto just a little bit in this fight. This is a massive fight in Miami. There's going to be so many South Americans. The Latino population is going to be, you know, roaring for Cheeto. I don't think Cheeto's ever fought in an environment like this, so I wonder how he's going to react. Also, championship fight. You know what I mean? For all the marbles. Who will I have rooting interest for? I will have rooting interest with Cheeto Vera. That's for damn sure. I'm definitely going to be rooting for him, which is crazy because I always root for Sean. So it's like I love both of these guys. I've been following Sean since the Contender Series, you know, when he was a scrawny-looking white kid that came out of math class. Like, there's no better way to describe Sugar Show. Like, that's what he looked like to me. You know, if I saw Sean in high school and I was a bully, he'd be the perfect guy to go bully. But then that's also the lesson that you learn as a bully, like why you shouldn't bully. Because that's the type of guy that could kick the living shit out of you. And you would never in your, you know, in a million years of dreaming, you would never think that's what happened. You know, the way that Sugar Show used to look like, you know, his curly brown hair. I'm telling you, this kid looked like he came straight out of science class and then he kicked ass. Like, that's just what Sugar Show is. I love that. I love Sugar Show. And I also love Cheeto Vera. So this is a treat for all MMA fans. You know, this card is a violent card. It's an explosive card. You know, you don't want to miss this fight from the first fight to the last fight. Enjoy it, everybody. I'm going to be tweeting on this fight on my Twitter, on my X, at HitBurbell the whole entire night. So let's have a great Saturday. Let's have a great night of fights. And let's just hit the bell, baby, because we're going to be back next week, and it's going to be time to start breaking down UFC 300 and all those other great fights coming along the way. This has been Hit the Bell with me, Matias Burbell, on the Sports Grid Radio Network and SiriusXM Channel 159. Y'all take care. We'll see you guys next week. Aloha. I'm back from vacation, and I feel great. Let's go.
You're listening to Hit the Bell with Matias Burbell on the Sports Grid Radio Network.